Hello everyone and welcome to this episode of the Afrinuke podcast. Mpazo Jeremiah is my name and on this episode I'm in China to find out if nuclear scholarships can solve Africa's energy crisis. Join me and be the final judge. Before you proceed, please, if you find value, kindly interact with this podcast on all social media and podcast delivery platforms by subscribing, sharing, liking or disliking as you deem fit. So this excursion is themed Perceiving China, a journey into nuclear science. And guys, listen guys, I was thrilled with the immense dedication and market growth of the Chinese nuclear industry. Firstly, we're giving a brief introduction of China's nuclear project over the years from the first indigenous technology, which is the Qinshan nuclear power plant built in the 1980s. Before this, however, they had started their nuclear journey in the 1950s, though not on the civil side. Now, this event gathers several students from different countries under the China Atomic Energy Scholarship. One of the students, Lawal Shamsuddin, gave a speech on behalf of the students from Harbin Engineering University, amongst others. And yours truly was appointed a deputy secretary of the Scholarship Alumni Association, amongst others. And guys, there is a cool technology I realized in this place during this visit, and that is the boron neutron capture therapy. The principle is as illustrated. As you may know, boron is a neutron moderator, and it produces some interesting characteristics and features that makes it applicable for cancer therapy. Those of you in the radiology aspect or medical applications will know this and perhaps can explain better. Yes. Nuclear can kill cancer and it can kill it precisely. Check the link in the description below for more on this interesting boron neutron capture technology. After these introductory remarks and also the ceremony we had the chance to visit the exhibition center of the Chinese National Nuclear Corporation in that building itself. So, and hello people, hello, hello, I was amazed. As much as other participants, I couldn't hold back from hugging the nuclear power plant mock-up. Can you see me there? It was an amazing experience. After this, we had a very delicious meal that followed and then we went to relax for the day. Next, we visited the China Institute of Atomic Energy, CIAE, which is known as the cradle of Chinese nuclear technology. Here, we were not allowed to go in with our phones, but our Laoshi did me some justice with our group pictures. We visited the experimental fast reactor and the advanced fast research reactor, where we saw the MNSR, which is the miniature neutron source reactor, and how they have been able to make and export this to some countries, including Ghana and Nigeria. If you are in these two countries, give a shout out in the comment section and say, yes, we have an MNSR reactor. We saw the advanced 100 MeV superconducting cyclotron, which is meant to simulate cosmic activity. Can you imagine that? And the BNCT I told you about previously, some minutes ago, here is the machine bringing it to work. The next place is where we capture the in-depth journey of Chinese nuclear technology, and that is the China Nuclear Industry Science and Technology Museum. Voila! And here we saw several mock-ups of nuclear technology, different kinds of nuclear plants technologies. We saw the Chinese small modular reactor, that is the ACP-100. Listen, as I describe briefly the broad process around the reactor pressure vessel.
Okay, so this is another illustration, a closer illustration of the reactor pressure vessel of the ACP-100 as illustrated here. These are the cold legs. The cold water comes in from here, gets heated up by the reactor, and then is extracted. The hot water is extracted here and sent to the steam generator, where it is further harnessed to turn the turbine on the other side.
Aren't you wild? I could not hold back from taking a picture in the nuclear steam supply system, NSSS, mock-up. See the steam generator on my sides, to the right and to the left, and see the coolant pump casting their shadows on me. Oh my. One of the professors from one of the universities here with me, taking some pictures. I feel like lifting it up. Can I do that? Another technology that intrigued me in this museum was the TRISO-fuel reactor technology. It is a very special one that is very inherently safe, and the fuel is like in a rounded shape, unlike the other one where you have the fuel like a pin, a long pin that is inserted in the reactor pressure vessel. Here you have it in a rounded shape and at of different layers, where you have the fuel inside and other components like the gas and other stuffs. You can see the details in the comments in the description section, where you can know more about TRISO fuel. Another one I saw was the tokamak. Did you see it? That's another simulation of the sun that is coming up in the near future. The fusion is considered to be the future of clean nuclear power coming from fusion. Other technologies you've been seeing so far is the fission technology, where atoms are split. The tokamak will simulate the fusion, that's bringing atoms together. In China, nuclear technology have been applied in modifying seeds and food crops. So we saw different applications of nuclear technology to food technology and also to health as well. In medical applications, we see it's been applied where neutron is used to treat cancer and other kinds of medical applications, in addition to the boron neutron therapy. What is nuclear technology without its initial application in military? We see the application in powering aircraft carriers, like you see in this picture here. This aircraft carrier is powered by a nuclear power plant, and also in space exploration, and many more applications too numerous to mention. Next is the visit to the Chinese National Nuclear Security Technology Center, which has a strong collaboration and similarity with the US NNSA. This is a center of excellence for security and safeguard. Here, they test for nuclear materials through destructive and non-destructive methods. In addition, they have several physical security demonstration setups to train personnel on the aspects of nuclear security. The Laoshi, which is another name for teacher in China, was explaining some concepts to the keen participants of the tour. The destructive method used scanning electron microscopy to investigate the presence of plutonium or other radioactive substances in a place or material.
And different kind of elements like uranium, plutonium, or other normal, you can say normal elements. Not only nuclear reagent.
So, and at the same time, can it also characterize like something in the diagram or something?
Okay. In this one, you mentioned this.
I get uranium from Canada. Can I get the difference of this?
Yeah. Because in different countries, mm-hmm. you have different industry lines. In this kind, you have different methods to deal with different kind of materials, right? So in this way, you maybe have some part, you have some kind of in industry of the nuclear fuel cycle system, but not all of them. So this is the difference between different countries. So when you produce some materials from different country,
yeah.
The things of the production is different.
Okay.
The materials and the content and the enrichment, mm-hmm. they are different, and the impurity is different.
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
So sometimes you can test the uranium plutonium content. Sometimes you test the impurity to see the to. These are the like the fingerprint of different. Place.
The samples are normally crushed and prepared before going through this procedure, hence the name destructive method. The non-destructive method, like calorimetry and neutron activation analysis, uses a part of the material for the analysis. This method are applied using highly sensitive gamma detection methods like high purity germanium and so on. Drones and other monitoring equipment are also used for proper security and safeguards of nuclear fuels and components of the nuclear power plants and other nuclear facilities. The radiation portal monitors are also in place to demonstrate nuclear material safeguards and accounting. For those who may not know what portal monitors are, portal monitors are installed at entry and exit ports like airports, seaports, and land borders to detect, monitor, and control illegal movements of radioactive materials. And after this, we moved to the Changyang base of the Nuclear and Radiation Safety Center. This is like the major place where there is a very big monitoring and big data center that they monitor all things about nuclear technology, nuclear power plant construction, and what have you in China. By the way, do you know that China right now, with 112 reactors in operation and construction, is the number one nuclear power country in the world? Pause and think about that. How were they able to do it? Well, just to give it a note from the previous discussion we had on project management, they have been able to shorten the project delivery time to about 5 to 6 years. Can you see that? Within 5 to 6 years, they can construct and connect a nuclear power plant to the grid. This places them at number one position in on time and on budget nuclear power plants project delivery in the world. This chart compares China nuclear project delivery in comparison with other similar projects around the world, and you can see the reasons are not far-fetched. These people are really pumping and very energetically doing so. As the NRSE, they are able to monitor and remotely control several stages of the construction to operations of the nuclear power plants. And I saw the facilities for environmental monitoring and physical protection of nuclear facilities where personnel go through drills, like shooting drills for responding to physical attacks and stuff like that in a nuclear facility. These are some of the places that we viewed and captured. We also saw drones and other equipment.
So your helicopter are used in the a little wider range of the search. For example, for the plant, the facility plant area, to the background investigation, right? Okay. So this is for airplane monitoring. Besides this, we have other kinds of the.
It's used for monitoring radiations in the environment and other aspects of physical and environmental protection that are involved. In other parts of this excursion, we also saw where they test nuclear equipment under ingress of sand and dust. This goes to tell how much rigorous they are in both destructive and non-destructive testing for environment and also for the equipment they use for monitoring radiation. So this caps it for my excursion and my movement around nuclear facilities in China. Next, we are going to have some voices and sights of my chats with some of the participants in this expedition. And I hope that you enjoy the conversation I had with them. It's at this point, I think you should consider subscribing and sharing this content as you find it valuable. Please like, share, subscribe.
Okay, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Yeah,
how are you?
Please, I'm fine. Can you tell us a bit about yourself?
My name is Ernest from Zambia.
Okay, so as someone from Zambia, how does this experience in this expedition compare with a nuclear project back home? And if there is none, what have you learned?
Okay, I would say, first of all, this experience was a good one in terms of visiting facilities that deals with science and technology, and also in terms of networking. I've met a lot of people from different countries, learned how the nuclear projects are going, how they deal with nuclear-related issues, and so on. So for my country, I think it's doing well. It's on the right trajectory when it comes to the nuclear science and technology. I think we are yet to have reactors and things like that.
Okay.
what you have on the right training
plan. All right, cool. I think you're almost dovetailing into the next question. And what I wanted to know is, what potential do you see for your country's or Africa's nuclear future after this experience you've had?
All right, I think I see a huge potential. So okay. I'll repeat that. I see a huge potential because if you look at Africa, we have the resources.
Okay.
But I think we are supposed to take necessary steps because when you talk about the nuclear industry, things like safety, security are very important.
Yeah.
So I think in terms of that, what we need most is personnel training. So we need a lot of people to be trained, people like me who have come for trainings and so on. So it's better we go and encourage our countries, the governments to invest much in training personnel, and then in the near future we'll be able to have expertise to be able to execute big projects like plans and so on and be able to operate them. Because I think the world is ready so far. It's no longer like before. The technology has advanced in terms of things to do with accidents and so on. They are no longer that frequent because that's what scares most of the public.
Yeah.
People who don't know about it. Sure. What if the accidents, it's dangerous and so on, which is we are far beyond that for now. The technology has advanced.
Right, that's very insightful. Thank you so much for that notes. And what last words and what do you have to say to those who are looking for this kind of opportunity and yeah, any last words that or parting words you have to say to
people? Right. First of all, I would like to thank you personally for actually doing such a thing, like you are collecting data and also trying to get to, you know, send this information out there. You are doing a good job, continue. And also, I got to interact with you personally and other people. And what I've seen is that you guys and me as well, we have also opened our minds to you know, this kind of technology, and we are working on mostly encouraging our fellows to also come get training and also invite more people to get training and also push on with this. Because what scares people most to be part of such trainings is opportunities. Are there opportunities out there? So what we can say, opportunities are there. But are you ready to be patient for it, get the right training, be actually an expert in this? Right. So Africa has the potential, it has resources, it has the materials themselves, I think, quite, but personally, I think that would be my last words, especially to African governments to say, let's also focus on this type of training, on this type of technology, that's what we can solve the problem. Thank you so
much. Thank you so much, Ernest.
I'm
really nice talking with you.
Thank you.
Good afternoon. Please, can you tell us a bit about yourself?
Good afternoon, all. This is Mohammed Khalid. I'm from Egypt. I'm a master's student at HEU, Harbin Engineering University. So I'm waiting for all your questions.
Thank you very much. So as someone from Egypt, how does the events you have been through in this expedition, in this excursion, how does it compare with nuclear projects back home in Egypt?
So to say, for these events, it made me have many, many knowledge. As we are going to build a new project in Egypt, which is in Daba, Matruh. So this project is the first one in Egypt. So I'm trying to get this experience and try to have this knowledge and learn from the experts to try to help my country. So let's compare it to the projects from China to others. So China is really, really advanced. They have greatest technologies. They are building like so fast, faster than normal, I think.
It's a business.
Okay, so what potential do you see for your country's nuclear future after today? What are the potentials you see?
I think we have our communication with China is getting better and better day by after day. So I think we can share the knowledge from China to Egypt, especially in the nuclear department, because they are really advanced, and I think their technology will help us because it is the first nuclear facility in Egypt. So I think we can take this knowledge and have their help, you know.
foreign.
Yeah, yeah.
And what advice do you have for other students and prospective people who would want to like learn from China or mm-hmm. come to China?
Mm-hmm. So basically, you have to try at least to, if you are not from the nuclear, if you don't have nuclear background, at least try to learn the basics before you come here. Because this was my first struggle here, because my bachelor was in computer science. So it is very, very far from nuclear. So I try to take some courses in fundamentals of nuclear technology and science. So this is really helped me a lot to gain more experience and more knowledge from, and understand what are the professors tell us, and try to gain more knowledge to improve my research area. Yeah.
All right. Thank you very much, Mohammed. Have a great time.
Thank you.
Here in this museum, I captured a video that shows the interesting progress and economic impact that nuclear energy has brought to developing China. And it was a very, very interesting one. I hope you enjoy watching it as much as I did watching and videoing it for your pleasure. If you've been with me to this point, kudos to you, and I want to praise you because you are one of the descent of people who watch to this extent in this podcast. And so this brings me to the question, can nuclear scholarship solve Africa's or any country's energy crisis? We've gone and we've seen. Let me know what you think in the comment section. Thank you so much and see you in the next one. Bye.